And welcome to the K&M Podcast. Ken Brown, Mike O'Hara, Nick Roddy. I'm not even giving titles today, fellas, because it's this December and it's time for football. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Hello, Mr. Brown.
How are you doing today? Exciting National Football League playoff race. We're in December, which means football officially started. When the clock
started.
Yeah, all that other stuff is preliminaries. It starts when, after Thanksgiving is when football starts. And we are into it now. Four games left. Unbelievably. And I'm going to say this again to repeat for people that have been on this K&M Podcast for years now. Unbelievably, we have a 12-1 football team. I just want your thoughts on that before we even go any farther, both of you. Right? I'll go to Mike first, since I know he's never seen this.
Well, they had a 12-win team that I covered back in 1991, but not like this. This is different. The pregame stuff that we did, I projected the Lions going 11-6. So, you know, they've outdone what I thought they were going to do, and I thought they were going to win the division too.
Roddy.
I mean, yeah, we get wrapped up in each game on its own, and it's kind of hard to believe that it's a 12-1 team that's won 11 straight and clinched a playoff spot. I mean, they really clinched it pretty much as soon as you could in December. So I don't even know if it was December at that point, but it's incredible. But for as much success as they've had, they still don't have the one seed locked up. They still don't have the division locked up. So it's kind of a little back and forth here on my thoughts.
And that might be a good thing. Right, that might be a good thing, because I'm gonna take an example of yesterday. Buffalo Bills had their division wrapped up last week. I think if they wouldn't have had their division wrapped up, they wouldn't have lost yesterday's game. I just feel that you get this letdown once you get that, you know, that X by your name for division. Playoffs is a different story. And when you're 11, and when the Lions were 9-1, they were in the playoffs. It was just a matter of finishing off. But I think that keeping teams with the heat on them is going to keep them playing at their optimum level for the next 4 weeks. So I'm fine with it, because
I don't know about an optimal level for the Bills. I mean, look how many points they scored.
Well, look how many they gave up. You mean to tell me that team yesterday defensively played like we gotta have this game?
No,
they gave up 24 points in the first.
Hey guys,
it was a much more important game for Los Angeles than it was for Buffalo. LA can't.
That's my point.
Lose another game.
That's my point, though, because the Bills had it clinched. They didn't have the urgency that the Rams had.
Well, what about the quarterback who came up with 6 touchdowns?
We're not talking about that, Mike. Why you want to bring other factors into this right now? I'm just talking about the overall team. Overall team. They did not.
Kind of letdown game.
It was a letdown game for them.
Okay, well, it might have happened if they didn't clinch the division. We don't know.
But my thing is, there are no letdown games for the Lions right now because of Eagles and the Vikings. There are no letdown games. Every game, you gotta go all out to win, and I think that's a good thing.
You know, I would semi-agree with you. I don't think there's anything wrong in what you're saying, and I don't think there's anything wrong if that's the way they're playing it out in Detroit and wherever else. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with competing.
Right. Well, I got to recap the Green Bay game, Thursday night game, which to me ranks probably the best for watching enjoyment game of the year for the Lions. I mean, there have been other games they played better. There have been other games where it was, you know, entertaining. But I think this was the most entertaining game of the year for the Lions. Nick, are you with me on that?
I mean, I think it's recency bias. I mean, there have been some entertaining games. I mean, for as bad as they played in that Houston game, that was a pretty damn entertaining game. So
for a half. But for a half it was. But, I mean, overall full game, I just think this one had everything in it. You got two teams that just cannot stand each other. You got pregame fights between the flag bearer and the coach. I mean, it had everything. Kirby Joseph and the tight end before the game even starts in the tunnel going at it. You got stuff at the end of the game. And then I'm going to tell you right now, if you had a game on tape, go get that handshake between Campbell and LaFleur. Go get it. Look at it. You got two coaches don't like each other. And that makes for an enjoyable.
Are you sure.
Just go look at it. That's right. Look, don't judge you with your own eyes. Put it like this. LaFleur don't like Campbell. Now, I don't know about Campbell, but Campbell gave him I've seen better handshakes at the fish market. So I'm just letting you know. Look at the handshake between them.
I don't like LaFleur either. So, I mean, he's a little whiny baby.
He is. But this is what I love. This perfect. You got to have a villain. You got to have a villain. And this rivalry is a rivalry. This is back to the Brett Favre days when the Lions were good and Green Bay was coming up in the 90s. This is the way this rivalry is going to be for the next few years. And I love it. I'm here for it. I'm down for it. And if you got to get the flag bearer out there again to yell at the coach, I'm all for that too. Because it's just that's the way this thing is going.
Look, I think this goes way back. I mean, decades and decades of the two teams that don't really like each other. I don't think this is a new thing, but I think it's a hotter issue now than it was before because it's present right now. But it's been going on for a long time.
Right, but you got to have two teams to participate. And the Lions weren't bringing up there into the deal since the 90s.
Yeah.
Now, back in the, like you said, in the, 70s and going into the 80s, Green Bay wasn't doing their side of the deal,
Right.
That's just the way it is. But I'm going to tell you one thing right now, gentlemen, let's get to it. Dan Campbell got to dial it back a little bit on these fourth downs. He got to dial it back, and let's get into it right now. The game was 34-31, walk-off by Jake Bates from the Michigan Panthers, Mike O'Hare, the guy that didn't want him. Anyway, Jake Bates.
Who didn't want him?
It's only three of us on this call here, and it ain't you or me, Roddy.
I'm working for the Michigan Panthers.
Roddy, like I said, so three people on the call, and it ain't you or me that didn't want him. So you can take your pick out.
Is that okay?
This is Mike O'Hare.
Skeptical.
If he's that good, what's he playing in that league for? Okay. Whatever you say, Mike. Anyway, Jake Bates, steal. But let's get to Dan Campbell. Don't have a problem with the last fourth down. I understand the situation. I'm with him. And if you watched the game yesterday between Miami and the Jets, they had a similar situation where they threw on third down, at the end of the game, and then they would have been able to run out the clock or at least run down the clock. Davante Adams gets the ball and runs out of bounds. They stop the clock. Instead of stopping in bounds, run the clock down, kick your field goal to win, and get on out of there. What happened was he went out of bounds, just kicked the field goal. It's time left on the clock. Miami comes down, ties the game up. They go to overtime and lose. So that's a perfect example of why you want the offense to have a ball at the end of the game, and I agree with Dan Campbell on that. But going for fourth down on your 31-yard line, it's just ridiculous. And he got to dial it down a little bit. And I don't know where you guys come in on that.
I thought that was sort of a prove it or a show me or show you a play by the Lions to do it at that point in that position. It's not what I would have done. Let's put it that way.
Not what you would have done, but it's stupid.
It's not what I would have
done.
It's stupid.
No, it's stupid. S-T-U-P-I-D. You're winning by three. You're on a 31-yard line. Your defense is ravished from injuries. And you're going to go for it when it's early in the third quarter. It makes no
that's
sense.
Why going for it because his defense is ravaged by injuries.
It's early. You're winning the game at the minute. I can see if it was the fourth quarter and you didn't know if you're going to get the ball back or something like that. But at that point, it just doesn't make sense. And like I said, I'm all for Dan. I'm 10 toes down for Dan Campbell. But just dial it down a little bit.
Well, you can't say dial it down and then nitpick.
No, you can say you can't.
One out of the five that you don't like.
No, I said you can do that. You can do that because this is the K&M podcast and we can do this.
Okay. I didn't like it either. I also didn't like the play call. They ran like a stretch play.
Right. Well, that's secondary on it. Yeah.
That's probably the worst play I would run. I'd throw the ball.
Okay.
Or I'd run up the middle.
The Pistons had Jordan rules. I'm putting some Campbell rules in right now. We are not going for fourth down from the 40 into your goal line anymore on fourth down. That should be a Campbell rule. You got to at least be at the 40. Now, we had this problem early in the year with the fake punt, remember?
Yep.
Way down in. And then that didn't work either. And then he stopped that. Oh, but really, I haven't been punting a lot lately, yeah. So it doesn't matter. But the fake punt stuff stopped. He's got to dial this one down, too. And I think in the realm of his old office with the lights out, with him sitting there in front of a computer, he'll realize, okay, maybe I shouldn't do that. At least don't do it in playoff time. If you want to do it in the regular season, all right. But get it out your system now. You can't do that. You can't do that in the playoffs.
Well, it's something they're successful at, though. They're taking away something.
They weren't successful this time.
One of the five.
I don't have a problem with the other fourth downs. I'm glad.
So if they convert on it, do you have a problem with it?
Yes, I do, because it's just the risk reward for being in your 30 when you're up by three. It just doesn't make sense. I can see, like I said, I don't want to get back to it. Just outside of the 40-yard line, don't go for the first unless it's, you just got into the game situation and you got to get back in the game. It just makes no sense. So that's Campbell rule number one that I'm implementing on the Campbell rules.
Go ahead.
Other than that, I'm fine with the fourth down. Look, in this league now, field goals are almost meaningless. It's touchdowns or nothing. And I like that the way you're going to go for it. Either get us a touchdown or you're going to go 99 the other way. But I'm leaving 4 points on the board when I'm within the 5 or 10 yard line. It doesn't make sense to me. And I agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't love the final one kind of as it was happening in real time. I thought I was kind of with Kirk Herbstreit. Like, he's got a ticket. What are you doing? And then when he went for it, I mean, I'd never really seen it done before. So it did make sense in hindsight, but it was scary when Jared Goff gets his foot stepped on and he's reaching out to give the ball to David Montgomery. I mean, you're really holding your breath there. And it didn't work out because you give the ball back to Jordan Love with 40 seconds left, only needing 3 points. I'm taking my bet that they're probably going to get that done. So,
well, then you were taking your bet then that they would have got it done if they would have kicked off then too, right?
What do you mean?
If they would have hit the field goal on fourth down, kicked off, you take the ball at the 30. So with 40 seconds left, you just betting it, it's going to overtime.
Correct.
That's why you do it, because you don't want to go to overtime.
I know. That's my point. Yeah. I didn't love it in real time, but looking back, I have to agree with it.
I was listening to the radio when that was going on. Lomas wanted him to kick, and T.J. Lane wanted him to go for it. So even from players, you had a different opinion on it, which was cool. I like that, which means that, at least it was thought-provoking and, each side took a side. And there are attributes to each side, but I'm going for it. I want to end the game on offense, like Campbell said. I agree with that. Mike?
I agree with you. I thought that was the right thing to do, he's not right or wrong just because it worked, but I just think it was the right thing to do. But the one thing that I kind of wondered about that and now is getting the ball at the 30-yard line. I think in a situation like that, you're really giving the team that receives the ball really kind of a flying start to win the game. I think they ought to move that back to the 20. Like in the fourth quarter or something like that. I just think setting them up at the 30 is too.
I like it.
It's too much.
I like it. Makes your strategy. That makes you got to have a thinking of coaches. And like you said, that gives you a flying start to get that field goal. That's why I like it. Because I'm tired. I don't know about you, Mike and Nick. I'm tired of these kickers dictating games, outside of the last kick of the game. So anything you can take field goals out of the game during the most of the game, I'm fine with it. So if your strategy is go for 7 and all the rest of that, I'm fine with it, because all this, 2-yard, 2-yard, 10-yard pass, 15-yard pass kick, I don't like that.
Well, I think when you get the ball at the 20, it really kind of
– Yeah, but there's no excitement on it. I mean, it's less excitement too, Mike. I think one thing we're missing out on is – when that ball's at the 30 and you got 40 seconds left or whatever, it is exciting to watch it. Whoever side you're on, it is exciting. And that's what makes a TV product good. And I'm sure the NFL is happy with that when every game comes down to the last possession.
No, I could argue it against myself, too, and go nowhere. So I'll just bow out on this.
Well, I agree. Well, that's something to think about. But anyway, the hated Green Bay Packers, and people who listen to this podcast, you know, I hate them with a passion, and I'm happy every time they get stomped. And I think they're just old. And if you go to the YouTube and go to some of the Green Bay fan blogs or Green Bay fan sites where they got the videos after the game, they're just crying about officiating, just whining. They're whining Green Bay Packers from Wisconsin. You take the L and move on. The Lions will take the W and move on. So 12-1, gentlemen, as we go now to Buffalo. Four games left. Right now, the magic number for both, I guess, will be it'll be four. But I think if the Lions win the first three and that last game in Minnesota, if they get these first three, Mike, I believe they don't even have to – no matter what that Minnesota-Detroit game is, the Lions will have the tiebreakers.
No, I agree with that. Yeah, I think so. I mean, I can't
– I think because they'll be – if they split – it'll go by a conference record next, and I think the Lions would only have lost one conference game because if they lose to Buffalo, it doesn't matter. So they win the next three, then they can rest that last game. And I just got a good feeling about these next four games.
So they would go into the last game of the season with a 15-1 record.
Right, a 15-1 record. But I don't think that's going to happen. I think all these teams are going to lose at least one more game, maybe two more games. This is a weird year, Nick, if you're looking at the standings. There's a bunch of teams top-heavy, but then there's a bunch of teams, like, with 2 and 3 wins. I've never seen so many. Because the number one pick, like Jacksonville won the other day, they went from the number one pick to, like, number 8 or 7. They moved down just off one win. It's just a lot of bottom-feeding teams this year.
Yeah, I mean, because there's a lot of top-feeding teams. It's kind of how it works out when it goes like that.
But usually there's a middle. There's not a lot of middle this year.
No, there's not a lot of teams that are 8-7 or 9-8 or whatever like that. It's really, you know, 10 wins at the top at least, and then nothing at the bottom.
Where do you guys view Green Bay as a team?
Oh, to me, not as good as people keep projecting that they would be. I think they're right about where I thought they would be, and that's what they got 4 losses.
Yeah.
Got a nice little start here going, but that's about it.
What about you, Nick?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've been talking about them as, like, this team on the rise with Jordan Love for, like, 2 years now, and they're just kind of plugging along. I mean, I don't really see them as one of the top contenders in the NFC.
That's interesting.
But going back to this playoff possibilities, they can lose any one of their remaining 4 games and still be the 1 seed. So it doesn't matter who they lose to. The Lions can lose any one of the 4 games and still 100% be the number 1 seed.
Right. But if they win the 3 in a row, then the 4th one won't matter. That's all I was saying. Because if they
if they lose the first one, they win the other 3. I mean,
yeah, but then they'd have to beat Minnesota. But if they just win 3 and then that last game, it won't matter to them at all. That's what I was saying.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So I got to give you my Green Bay take for a minute. And a lot of people came out again talking about they're going to see them in the NFC Championship game again. Green Bay can challenge the Eagles, and you might see this game again at Ford Field in February, end of January, whenever the game would be. I'm agreeing with them, man. I don't know what you guys saw. And they had a couple of guys out. I think they're the second-best team in the NFC. I do. I think they are. And now, you know, I hate Green Bay. And for me to say this is it's an amazing feat. And I may burn this tape after we finish doing it, but I think they got a really good team, man. And I think because Josh Jacobs makes that team a whole different ball game. And I'm just saying they can beat Philadelphia. They can beat Philadelphia.
I don't like saying it, but I think Minnesota might be the second best team in the NFC. I mean, you got to defend Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson, and the way Sam Darnold's playing, I'd take him over Jordan Love right now. I mean, maybe not going forward, but just the way they're playing this season, I'd take Sam Darnold over Jordan Love. So I'd put Minnesota there. And Minnesota's defense is playing great.
No, they're not. Playing good. Not great. They're playing good.
Wow. Okay. All right.
Well, look at yesterday. It was a tie game going into the 4th quarter. And before Kirk Cousins did one of his implosion numbers again. So, I'll let Mike speak, then I'll tell you what I think of Minnesota.
I can't wait to hear what you have to say. Go ahead.
I think you look at who Minnesota's played, I think they're one of the most overrated teams. They do have two good pass receivers, and Hockenson's a good player. But the next 4 weeks, you watch and see what their record is in these games. Now they're playing somebody. They have played. They must have one of the easiest schedules in the league this year. They played.
They came in last place. So that's okay. What happens.
Okay, but now you're going to play some teams these last few. We'll see. I just think they've got by a lot of lucky games. True enough, Darnold looks good right now at times, but I still remember the Jacksonville game, and he has stuff like that. And he wasn't playing that great yesterday till the fourth quarter. He was okay. And then all of a sudden, I've never seen five touchdown passes where guys were just standing wide open like that before in an NFL game. And again, I don't want to
– three touchdowns before the fourth quarter yesterday.
No, but I'm talking about the ones at the end that when it was tied after that where they were just Justin Jefferson's like wide open, the guy's falling. He's on the side. I don't know. He's taking a sun bath on the sideline or whatever. It was just terrible. And I'm going to tell you this nothing. I told you guys this when Raheem Morris got another job. It's going to end the same way as it did with his other job. I don't know why. I don't know why everybody has him held up to be this great coach. I never understood it. That's all I got to say. They should have hired Belichick.
Well, I don't see him getting a shot at that anytime soon. But
well, Belichick, they turned him down. They didn't want to get a power over to him or whatever. But Belichick. It could have did one. Oh, I'm going to tell you two other things, too. Have you ever seen – I know I'm in Atlanta Falcon football now, but I just got to do this. Kyle Pitts, remember he was drafted the year –
isn't that something?
Just a nothing player. And the Bijan Robinson, Jahmyr Gibbs thing should stop right now because it's no comparison. It is no comparison. And I was high on Bijan Robinson coming out of Texas. But, man, Mike, Atlanta should be way better than they are.
Well, you would think so. I mean, this was a guy, and look, the Lions were really high on him, too. You know, Brad Holmes liked him. He really liked him.
Yep.
And obviously he got a better player, but the way it worked out. But, no, he was the hot thing.
Yeah, he was in the first draft, right? He went before Penny Sewell,
yeah.
Right? Okay.
People were talking about drafting him second overall.
Right.
I mean, they're only separated by like 40 rushing yards, the two of them.
Yeah, but I'm talking about him. Oh, hold on. You cannot do statistics with Jahmyr Gibbs because he splits time. All those other guys are full-time running backs. Jahmyr Gibbs' impact while he's on the field is way more than 40 yards less than, you know, 40 yards more than Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson doesn't make impact plays like Jahmyr Gibbs. How many touchdowns does Bijan have while you got it out there?
Eight rushing and one receiving.
Okay, well, that's fair. I'll give him eight. That's fair. That's fair. But it's no impact in his game to me. You know
because the team stinks.
That's what I'm saying. A back and build it. They shouldn't stink. That's the point I'm trying to make to you. They shouldn't stink. They got everything over there.
You take a backup quarterback.
What about Drake London? You got Drake London. You got Bijan Robinson. You got Kyle Pitts. I mean, you should be better. You should just be better.
Kyle Pitts is nothing.
Right, but I'm just saying he was a high prospect coming out.
Yeah. So it's going to be interesting what they do with the quarterback spot. I also think it's going to be interesting what Minnesota does at quarterback moving on to next year. I know we're getting a little ahead of ourselves, but when they drafted J.J. McCarthy and look at the year Darnold's have. I don't know. What do they do going forward?
Has anybody thought that maybe this is the coach and it's not the quarterback? You know, because Kirk Cousins leaves Minnesota, and he's a shell. Darnold was a shell coming in, and he looks like Kirk Cousins did at Minnesota. Anybody ever thought maybe it's just
why didn't they keep Kirk Cousins? I mean,
well, you didn't want to pay him, and he coming off an Achilles at 30-something years old. You can see Achilles on 30-something year old quarterbacks is not good. Pardon me?
35 or 36, yeah.
And just like Aaron Rodgers, you know, has he recovered from that Achilles? Looks to me like a different player. So I understand them letting him go, but I'm just saying, maybe LaFleur, I'm not saying LaFleur, O'Connell, maybe he's just a quarterback whisperer and a coach that builds up quarterbacks. And if you put J.J. McCarthy in there next year, maybe J.J. will spin off like that. So we'll see.
Let me just say, let me offer this as long as we're talking about quarterbacks and quarterback whisperers. Did anybody whisper at the Bears quarterback after, you know, fire the coach? They've fired a bunch of people before that. And what have they gotten out of it? Nothing.
Who, the Bears?
Absolutely nothing. Yeah, the Bears. Yeah. Nothing.
No, well, they're closer to the number one pick than they were before. And the funny part about, Mike, you pick up that Bears, which is interesting. You know, at one time they were 4-2?
Yes.
They haven't won a game since. So 4-2 would be what, October? Second week in October. They won a game in the second week in October.
Right. Right.
Man. Bad. But you know what? I need him to be bad 2 more weeks. I need him to be bad for 2 more weeks. So.
Well, I don't know. I think the desire has gone out of that team for long time.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can see yesterday, they didn't even come to play yesterday. Rod, you watch it. What was the premier game you watched yesterday? Anything that caught your eye?
I mean, it was mostly Rams, Bills. I didn't watch a ton of the 1 o'clocks.
I'll tell you, you watched the Rams, but we all watched the Rams, Bills. Puka Nacua, how does he go in the fifth round?
Yep.
My God, that guy is good. He is good.
Well, how does he go in the fourth round? I mean, deep in the fourth round.
Yeah, but people knew of him. He was like a number one high school prospect and whatever. It's not like nobody knew of him. I don't remember Puka Nacua in college. I can't tell you one highlight he had in college.
Well, sometimes knowing a player's background doesn't help the player. That sometimes it reveals him. Now that's just the opposite of what happened with Amon-Ra. But he was not a highly regarded player when he got here to Detroit, and all of a sudden he was.
Yeah, but that was that COVID time too. So you give us. But he was, like I said, the top five player in high school coming into college. He was a highly recruited USC guy. He had 2 good years, and he was hurt, and then he had the COVID year. So it wasn't that people didn't know him, and you know, little size or whatever maybe dropped him down. But Nacua, I can't even know. I don't even remember what college he went to.
He went to Washington and then BYU.
Yeah, it's like, and I don't remember one BYU highlight of him his senior year or whatever. But he comes out and he just right away in the league, man. I'm really impressed with him. And I'm telling you right now, I don't want to see a repeat Stafford game here in Detroit in the playoffs. Y'all take that stuff somewhere else. You take that thing down to Atlanta, you take it to Tampa, take it to Philadelphia. You just take Stafford. Don't even try to come back for that. Whatever you got to do, wins or losses, to not be on our radar. Get out of here.
How can you turn your back on that? That'd be the game of the.
We don't want to see that, Mike. We don't want to see that.
Okay.
We don't want to see that.
Okay.
We saw that last year. Okay, we got away at the end with that one last year. We don't want a repeat of that.
They've beaten them. They've beaten them in the last 2 times they've faced them.
Overtime and a last second field goal.
Well, I see they ran them right out of the game.
I don't want to see it again. I don't want to see it. All right. We got all our festivities out the way. Buffalo Bills coming in with the best player in the league right now. You guys agree with that?
Absolutely. Sure is.
Okay. You know what? I just set you up. Because I'm putting an argument in that the best player in the league is on the Lions. And I'm going to keep repeating this week after week after week until somebody listens to me. Nick Roddy?
Is it a right tackle?
Penny Sewell is the best player in this league.
Yeah.
And I know it's hard for a tackle to get the, you know, player of the year and all that other stuff, but I'm going to keep touting it, man. The stuff he does every week amazes me. Hey, Roddy? Michael here?
Didn't talk Dan Skipper yet.
Yeah, I'm about to get my mea culpa. I was just about to get it up. I told Mike I was going to do this. Dan Skipper, I apologize. I apologize on the KNM podcast for doubting you for the last couple of weeks. I was worried about, look, Dan, I saw you get cut on Hard Knocks. I saw you go to Indianapolis, get cut in training camp, didn't even make the team, came back. I just thought you were just a guy. But I'm sorry, Dan, you played your butt off the last 2 weeks. KB is repenting to you now. I hope you forgive me. You are a ball player. Okay? Is that okay? Did I get it out?
I'll make sure he receives the message.
If I see him in the locker room, I'll go up to him and say, I'm going to repent to him personally. I'm going to say, Dan, I was a disbeliever. Now I'm a believer. That you are good. You are good backup.
6'9", 330. If I were you,
hey, I'm gonna do it from the other side of the room, Mike. I'm gonna yell it across to him. But he held up strong. And I, like I said, I'll be the first one to admit it. I was worried. I'm not worried anymore. So if Decker has to miss a game or something or a couple of plays, we're good with Skip. We're good with Skip.
Yeah. We saw some mahogany in the game. Did you guys notice that?
Yeah, because Zila got hurt or went out for a play or two. Yeah. I think he did a couple of plays. Matter of fact, I'm looking at my play sheet here. Mahogany got three snaps. He was only out a couple of plays. Three snaps. Yeah, he got three snaps on offense. So that's good.
What about Sarsdale, though? When do we see him?
Training camp 2025.
Okay.
Third exhibition game, fourth quarter. Because he's not trending real good right now, Mike.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, yes, when you're inactive every week, right?
Yeah.
I thought the guys that got picked up during the week, Quan Alexander, Jamal Adams, the Adams family, the Maurice Adams or M. Adams. What was it? Is his name Maurice?
Miles.
Miles Adams. Miles Adams played kind of decent too, man. I thought the Adams brothers played all great for the snaps they played. I thought they held out. I think they made the defense, simpler for them, so they should get better with another week of practice. But you got to admit, Mike, throwing four guys in there and having them play, not bad.
Yeah, but as one of the announcers said, it might have been Al Michaels or whoever it was, and in the game Thursday night, you could see them kind of pointing to direct them where to stand and all of that. So it was a tough go, and I think they made the best of it.
Yeah, they got away with it. They got away with
it. Pat O'Connor had a game.
You know why?
A lot of credit.
And you know why? Where'd he go to school?
Eastern Michigan.
Da, 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 da. That's right.
Well, you know what I wanted to know, though?
Yeah.
When did he get his hair cut?
What, he had long hair before?
Oh, my God, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Mike, I couldn't pick him out of a lineup. If you told me, if you put 10 faces up there, I couldn't tell which one was his.
Well, the one with the longest hair.
Right, I'm just saying, though, I don't know what he looked like before. I know he went to Eastern. That's all I know. I don't know what he looked like. Like I said, if you put him in Sam LaPorta, they said, I wouldn't know which was which unless I had a program. It just, he came out of nowhere. So, I'm going to tell you another one. Okay.
Just call everybody Sam.
That's
okay?
What I said.
Okay.
I'm off of Dan Skipper. I'm on Broderick Martin now. Broderick Martin got pushed around like a shopping cart. I thought I was at Costco. The only thing missing was I put my ID card out when I saw him in the past. Come on, baby. We got to do better than that. You have fresh legs. You haven't played all year. You got to do better than that. Pick it up next game, big fella. Pick it up. That's all I'm going to say. Pick it up. I was very disappointed in his performance the other day. I thought this is going to be his time to shine. And I'm looking at the snap count. You know, he had like three snaps the first game back. He had 23 snaps yesterday. That was enough to do something.
Yeah.
Williams guy they got from the Rams played 25 snaps. So you got guys coming in off the street and getting more snaps than you. You know? That Miles Adams guy, he had 19. So he's batting you for playing time right now. So when these guys get healthy again, Mike, if you make a decision, they're going to have to make a decision. You're going to keep this Miles Adams guy or you're going to keep, keep Broderick Martin?
No, that decision will come next season.
Well, it's got to come this season because you got to make some spaces for guys when they start coming back off IR. You're not going to be able to keep all those defensive linemen when it's time to bring some of these other guys back.
These guys are coming off IR this year.
No, I'm not talking about D-line coming off IR, but just you got three guys that are not playing, so you're not counting them. But there are other positions where you got – like when Anzalone comes back, somebody got to go. You know, when Melifanu eventually deems himself worthy to play, you got to find a spot for him. You know,
is there anybody you haven't torched yet?
No, I'm just
today.
I'm just Trevor Nowoski. You were missing this week too. I want to see some more action out of you, buddy. I'm torching guys. I want to see a little more production out of you, sir. Because the last couple of weeks, your name has not been called. I have not heard it. So let's come on. It's time to step up, big fella. I'm gonna tell you who did step up again is Muhammad, the defensive end. That's 2 weeks in a row, Mike.
I like him.
Two weeks in a row.
He made a couple plays. Yeah, he did. Yeah, back to back, I think, as I recall.
All right. So we're done with Green Bay. We done moved aside. Later, losers. All right. Buffalo Bills. Is this the Lions' toughest game this year? Is this the measuring stick game, fellas?
I think it's the toughest game remaining of the final four. I don't know about for the whole season.
Right.
I think they've just kind of gotten by this year too. I don't think they're all that. I think they're good. And look, what they've won, they deserve to be. You know, yeah, that's good and all that. Pat them on the back, but I don't think they're all that.
Mike,
I really don't.
Mike.
Yeah.
I've known you a long time.
What?
That's the smartest thing you've ever said. I agree 102%. The ESPN will build a team up for 3 or 4 weeks and drop them like a hot rod. Eagles up to yesterday were the greatest thing since sliced bread. Yesterday, they were a legit drop from losing that game. This morning, everybody's talking about the Rams. I mean, they just fly to another team to build up. And just because they beat Kansas City that one game, I think the Eagles, the Buffalo, they started on a downward note, even though they've been winning. I think they caught a little bit of wind. And like you said, Mike, they got a great quarterback, but they're not a great team. Wow. And I agree with you on that. So, Roddy, you listen to Mike O'Hare because he's knowledgeable and right.
All right, no comment.
Well, this is going to be a good game because I want to see how they handle Josh Allen because I believe he's the best quarterback they faced this year.
Yeah, he's probably the MVP too. I mean,
see, this is you.
Look at the odds in Vegas. It seems like he locked it up yesterday.
See, this is the ESPN thing of it. I'm going to tell you right now, besides Penny Sewell, who we just talked about, y'all better start looking at the other guy on the other side, number 16, because he's got MVP numbers.
No.
Okay. Mike, does Jared Goff have MVP numbers?
I think he does, but I don't think it will go to a quarterback who doesn't run. You know, and I just think that's the rage now, and that's the way it's going to go for a long time. That's just my opinion. It adds an element to the game. It sure does. I agree with that. But it doesn't necessarily make it more valuable, I don't think.
I'm just putting it like this. When you're throwing 70-something percent out there of completion percentage and you're doing 3-to-1 touchdown to interception, or at least 2-to-1, maybe 3-to-1, and you –
He's not doing 3-to-1.
I said, if you get to 3-and-1 with him, look, he'll have one bad game of five, and he can get a five.
Josh Allen's approaching 5-to-1.
I'm not arguing Josh Allen's greatness or not. I'm just saying Jared Goff should be in this conversation.
I was touting Jared Goff MVP before the Houston game, and I mean, that game might have killed his chances. Maybe not 100%, but it's hard to come back from a game like that on Sunday Night Football.
Did your TV go out at like 5 minutes to the end of the game? They did win.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't want to be the one to tell you that you better turn it off with the sleep. They did win that game. Okay.
Trust me.
Yeah, he won.
I know.
He led them to the win.
That's what I'm saying. Roddy put to sleep. Roddy thought they lost.
I don't have an MVP vote. That's not how they vote on this award, though. I'm just talking facts.
Okay.
That's not how this award is awarded upon.
Well, you got 4 weeks left, and the MVP to me is not decided. These next 4 weeks will tell who the MVP will be. And if the Lions go 16-1 and he's throwing 70% of his passes, completions, he's in the running. I'm sorry. I don't give a damn that Josh Allen is 30-yard running and throwing touchdowns. And Josh Allen will throw you a couple every game. He's like Jordan Love. He will throw a couple for you to get.
Not this year.
No. He's still the same, Mike. They haven't been taking advantage of him. He's still the same. He threw a couple up there. Look at yesterday's game. There were chances.
Six touchdowns.
There were chances, though.
Come on.
There were chances.
Yeah.
And wait a minute, who won that game, Mike?
So you're holding the picks that weren't picks against Josh Allen, but Jared Goff throwing picks don't matter because
no, I'm not holding it. Picks or picks. I'm agreeing with you. I'm just saying.
Okay.
He's not Superman in cleats. This is the Josh Allen guy. I heard somebody today. He's the greatest quarterback prospect ever. Better than Elway. Better than so and so. He's the best quarterback this league has ever seen. It just everybody takes stuff and runs with it. Can't we just settle down and let everything play itself out? We got to make these definitive statements. Now, yes, Penny Sewell is the greatest player ever. No, I'm just okay, so all right.
Yes, we can.
All right, that's going to be it because y'all done got me fired up already. Dan Campbell, go from 10 to 9. KB has said it, all right? Just take it down one notch. Any closing thoughts, fellas?
It's about time.
Yep.
Roddy?
I've said my piece.
All right. That's the Cannon Podcast for this week. Join us Friday when we will do our predictions for the Buffalo-Detroit game, which is the national game on Sunday at 4:15, Ford Field. Also on the Mitch Albom Show on Monday afternoon, 4:30 p.m., Alex Anzalone will be on to assess the Lions up to now and his timetable for his comeback. And we'll talk about other things. And also, Jake Lazor's report on Aiden Hutchinson coming back maybe by the NFC Championship game, more than the Super Bowl, is stuff we'll talk about at the later in the week, too, because I got some thoughts on this, and we'll talk about that. All right, fellas?
All right.
Have a good day.